Happy 2022, listeners, and an early Kum Hei Fat Choi for the Year of the Tiger. Welcome to another of Teachers Lift, the podcast where educators talk to educators about educating and learning. In this episode, we'll be speaking with our colleague, Dr. Lisa Chan, from the Centre of Applied English Studies at Hong Kong U, which actually is where we are recording today's programme. We will be chatting to Lisa about the development of the English in the Discipline course, that's ED course in its short form, for the Faculty of Dentistry and her role in conducting a needs analysis which informed the course's design. So, let's get started. Levi!
Yes, hi.
Levi is joining me today. And I just want to say thank you very much, Levi, for joining at such short notice and helping me out with this podcast. So, Levi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for allowing me onto this wonderful campus.
Yeah, and you're from HKUST, right?
Indeed, I am.
Yeah, yeah.
From I guess your counterpart at HKUST, the Center for Language Education.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, yes. My counterpart. I like the idea of a counterpart,
rather doppelganger.
Than a doppelganger, yeah. or an antagonist or something like that.
I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to familiarizing myself with some of the programs that are run here, and in particular, your colleague Lisa Chang,
who'll be joining us in a few minutes. So she will be coming in to talk about the Faculty of Dentistry. The English course for the Faculty of Dentistry that she was once coordinator for.
Sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
Don't know much about dentistry.
I actually do. It's a hobby. No, it's not a hobby. My father was a dentist.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he was my dentist when I was growing up.
Don't suppose you had a choice in that matter.
Just where I was living, there weren't many dentists anyway. He was trained as a dentist. It wasn't one of those kind of things where, you know, in the old days of dentistry, it was, I think it was the hairdresser was also the dentist, was also, you know, the gravedigger.
Okay, well.
He was a trained dentist, but there weren't many in the town I came from.
All right, I'm looking forward to some of the insights that Dr. Chan can give us about this program.
Yeah, me too. So should we invite her in?
Indeed.
Hey, Lisa!
Hey, Colin, how are you?
It's great to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too.
No, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. I wish the readers could see how wonderfully dressed Lisa is.
How wonderful I am.
And how wonderful she is, that's right.
Lady in red.
A lady in red and wearing this beautiful beautiful Christmas mask.
Yes.
Lisa. Where should we begin?
By the way, it's nice to meet you, Lisa.
Right?
Yeah, sorry.
Nice
and
to meet
Lisa,
you.
Just incidentally. Hi.
Hi.
Okay. Right. Well, where should we go? Should we maybe start with a question, a little bit about your background, Lisa?
My background.
Not the whole biography, about your role as the program coordinator for the English in the Discipline course for dentistry. You were the program coordinator there for 10 years, is that right?
Yeah, it's actually over 10 years, more than 10 years.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, wow. Time flies.
Half your life, right?
Yes, I still look young, right?
Yes, okay. So when did you begin as a coordinator for that course, and when did you sort of step down? And was there anything you particularly enjoyed about coordinating that course, or any sort of good memories?
Yeah, thanks for your question. Well, actually, I began my role as the coordinator in 2006, and I stepped down in 2020, so it's just only 2 years ago. So that's why it's roughly 14 years. Well, over the years, there have been so many things that I had enjoyed quite a lot. Well, if I were asked what I enjoyed most, I would say it's all about creating a new course for the benefits of the students from the Faculty of Dentistry. So I don't know whether you were in ZES back in 2006, Colin.
It's a little bit before my time.
Right. Okay. So actually, Well, actually, at that time, okay, I mean, I took over coordinatorship from our former colleague, Dr. Vivian Barry, and she was actually an excellent coordinator. So for the first few years, for me, it's more or less like honeymoon. So not really that much to do, actually, because I just follow her great work. But it's until later, okay, if you remember, Colin, when we had to prepare for the launch of the new four-year curriculum, and then we have to really create a new course. Everything is so new for the dentistry students and also for year five students. So I would see that a challenge, but at the same time, throughout the years, piloting the course, revising the course, we went through the days when the course effectiveness was not really that good for the first first 2 years. And later on, the scores went up and then consistently remained high. So, yeah. So I would say that, well, that's the most what I enjoyed. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so can you maybe tell us a little bit about the details of the course as it is now? And, you know, what did the students kind of learn on the course? And, you know, how are they assessed? What kind of assessments do they
absolutely.
Have?
Absolutely. Yeah. This course is 9350. So as I said, it's an English course for year five students from the Faculty of Dentistry. So it's more or less like an adjunct course. So it's an adjunct course that aligns with the faculty's community health project module. Maybe I can tell you a little bit more background about the community health project. So it's actually a compulsory module for year five students, and they have to work in groups and conduct research on a community dental health topic. For example, dental anxiety among school children in Hong Kong, or maybe perception of oral health cancer among prisoners in Hong Kong, let's say. Right? So you know something very interesting about dentistry students at Hong Kong is that they start to see patients in the dental hospital in their second year. And actually, they do not really need to write a lot because, you know, okay, they meet patients. Okay, what they mostly have to write will be case reports. But cannot really demonstrate, okay, their writing skills. You know, case reports may probably just some quick notes, okay, about the patients. But for that particular community health project module in the year five, really require demanding writing skills, okay, because they have to present the findings of the research in a group report and also present that in a presentation. What they call is actually a press conference format. So that's why this is where we CES came in, and then we offer this course to provide them with parallel language support. Okay, but over the years we made some course changes. Maybe I can let you know more later.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we can maybe talk about that later.
If I could just ask a question, because sure. We at UST also have very discipline specific English courses,
right.
And one of the challenges that we face is that the students often know much more about that specific subject matter than the teacher.
Exactly.
And there's a bit of a, maybe I shouldn't say disconnect, but a little bit of a sort of like an intimidation factor from the teacher's side. Did you experience the same thing?
Yeah, well, you're right. Okay, that's a very good question. Perhaps for this particular genre of writing, okay, research report writing, and then we CES teachers do have expertise, right? And then most of the teachers on the team actually have a PhD degree. And then we went through the experience of conducting research, sharing story of research. But of course, okay, we need more help, but not from the students. That's why, okay, we collaborate with the faculty. So over the years, we have maintained a very good relationship, working relationship with the faculty. Later, I can talk more about needs analysis. Part of this is that we approach the faculty. We work with the co-workers. Our faculty members there. And then, we develop the assessment criteria together. We consult them when we actually got some problems. For example, for this particular genre, research reports in dentistry. So the overall structure could be quite different, from other disciplines. And then we consult them. So I think, in that sense, really help a lot.
So just to clarify for our listeners, so this course is taken in the fifth year, is
yes.
that right?
Okay. Yeah, so it's quite different, right? Okay, I know Colin, you coordinate courses for the Faculty of Arts, right?
That's right,
because mostly
yeah.
in second year.
Second
maybe
or third
engineering
year. Yeah.
At Hong Kong, you probably can be third year, right?
Yeah.
So
what about you, Levi?
What
I mean, generally, when are students taking your English support courses?
Well, for some of the course that I'm most familiar with that's very discipline specific is a final year course for to help them complete their final year projects for science students, sometimes engineering students, sometimes math students. Right. So it's often taken either in their final year or approaching their final year. Mm. I'm curious about how did you build that relationship, that really effective working relationship with that faculty? Yeah. It can be a little bit difficult.
Yeah, exactly.
Did it take the 10 years that you were there?
You're right. Absolutely true. What I want to say is that, well, it wouldn't start, you know, okay, it's just only yesterday we met, okay, and then immediately we could work, right? I think that what helped me over the years as a coordinator here is that we'd actually have to attend the faculty board meetings. Colin, you know that, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So usually once a month. I will treat this as a very valuable opportunity for me to enhance the visibility of CES. So I did my best, okay, to attend the faculty board meetings, and then I would go a little bit early or maybe have a few minutes, okay, after the meeting talking to, okay, the faculty members who work closely with me, okay, for the English course. And then from time to time, I would say that I tried to be more proactive, let them know, okay, well, this is what we are doing. Okay, well, okay, let them know we actually support the students. So I think that, well, over the years, okay, let them know we are here to support, not just only offer a course, but to support their students. And I think this is very important.
I think those are good ideas that we could probably adapt a little bit more at our center.
Mm. I mean, there's a sort of difference between faculties and courses where, you know, some faculty are quite diverse in the number of disciplines that they have. So it's I'm not sure, is that the same in dentistry, or is it quite a small faculty?
It is quite a small faculty, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before, actually, we got around 40, no more than 50 dentistry students, but now they increased the intake. So it's roughly around 70 students. And for the faculty members, maybe around no more than 30, actually.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Right. It's a small faculty, but actually it has a very high reputation. You know about the Faculty of Dentistry. It's the only dental school in Hong Kong, right?
Oh, yeah, okay. I didn't realize it was the only.
Right. And the other challenge for this course is because it's for year 5 students. Mm-hmm. And then in general, dentistry students actually are really smart. So some of them actually were exempted from our first year English course. So this means that, okay, they have never taken any English course, not until year 5, and then they would question, why am I here, right, doing English? So that's why, back to what I said, the first 2 years, actually why, okay, some of the reasons for a pretty low course effectiveness course was that. That's the course ethos. So we couldn't really communicate effectively with the students why you're here and what you're going to do. So later, okay, we invite the faculty dean, all right, okay, to really appear in our course introduction video. And also the faculty member to say a few words, and then we show this course introduction video right at the beginning of the course. And then later we made changes to the course because we had 3 class groups when I coordinate the course. And then, okay, we had a plenary section, that is to have the cohort students meeting all 3 teachers. We invite the faculty member who worked with us come and say a few words about the course, what you're doing here, how our course can help you, any connection, okay, between the faculty and the CES. I believe these two could really help to send a strong signal. I personally, as the coordinator, I could see really, okay, such a really a big difference when I see the students in the class, seeing the dean, the video, seeing the faculty member really coming to CES on main campus, talking to them. So this is one of the changes that we made, okay, and we think that this is very important to let the students know about the value and the significance of
course. It's critically important, because that's one of the challenges that we face on our end, is it's often towards the end of their university education. They've devoted 3.5, maybe 4 years to studying their specific discipline, and then suddenly they're in this course that is English centered, and it's difficult for us to sort of help them see the value of it.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And actually, you sort of preempted that question for me, because I was really curious, is this a required course that they have to take, and if so,
it's a compulsory course.
It's compulsory course. So then you have to really get them engaged to seeing the value of it.
Yes.
And it sounds like you managed to do that.
Yeah, because, well, we know, like, in a presentation, okay, the first minute in our talk is very important. If not, we'll lose our audience. Mm. I don't want to lose my students right at the beginning of the course. Mm. And then thought, oh, okay, why am I doing here? I don't, well, I don't want them to survive, all right, for the 12 weeks for this English course.
So what sort of, in the messaging, in that sort of...
The video.
In the video, what sort of things are they sort of saying to the students that say, look, you know, how is this helping you? Yeah, why is this course matter?
Yes, okay. The faculty dean actually said something about the value of this course, that is highlighting its alignment with the faculty's community health project module that I just explained it to you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then for the other faculty member, our co-worker actually said something more about the language needs. Because actually he's also very experienced. There were some faculty teachers who supervise the students' projects. And then this course, provide them with the critical input, to help to enhance the writing skills. So the co-worker from the faculty actually explained, the language needs of the students that he observed over the years, and then linked back to our course, and then what highlights, of the course were, so as to send a strong signal to the students. I remember students say, oh, okay, this faculty dean, and also some other teachers.
I recognize him.
Okay. And then we got some former students also interacting in class, also included some of the images and then pictures and videos in the video, make it more interactive and lively.
Okay. So, if we sort of think about, what they need... You did a needs analysis, is that right? Okay,
yes,
so I think one of the sort of focus of today's program is about, how do we sort of go about conducting these needs analysis when you're redesigning a course. Could you sort of maybe talk us through maybe the process that you underwent?
Sure. Well, before we called it, when we launched the new curriculum, planning for the new four-year curriculum. It was called English in the Major. Not quite sure whether you remember that. So at that time, we had to identify the major in the faculty. So we had a couple of meetings with the faculty. I was not the only one who approached them. Actually, CES approached them as a team led by me. And I invite our center's director at that time, Professor Ken Highland, and also the other course teachers. So, well, as a team, all right, okay, we approached them, went to the faculty dental hospital, and then, had a couple of meetings. Let them know, what we have to do, because they know this is, just like Leafy said, this is a compulsory, so they know, we got
You're
to,
do,
to
this. Do it.
We have to do this. Mm-hmm. Okay, but how well we can do this, we let them know. So first of all, we identify, the community health project module. And then for the needs analysis approach, I would say that we adopted a systematic approach, two direction. One was collecting direct evidence. And the other was reading-based research. So for collecting direct evidence is that, actually, we consult the faculty. Can you give us some previous students, dentistry students, community health project reports, right? Okay, because the module started in somehow 1980 something, all right. So actually, really a long history. So we would like to collect the reports in order to have a look at the past year students' writing. That's one of what I said. One form of direct evidence. The other is we interviewed all the faculty supervisors. There were roughly 4 to 5 supervisors. Who help with the students for this module. We also interviewed some several, 3 or 5, past year students who already graduated, and then share with us, throughout this experience, did you encounter any difficulties in writing the research reports? The other that I just said, reading-based research, is that, definitely we as a team, with the course teachers, take a look at the literature in order to find out any readings about research report, especially in the field of discipline. In the discipline of dentistry. Yeah. So that's the approach.
So you led this program for 10 years, correct?
Yes.
Did you notice that these needs evolve over time? Do they change? And do you regularly evaluate, redo a needs analysis?
Yeah, that's a very good question, actually. Well, the other thing that I would like to share with you is that we had a corpus. So it's actually a collection of past year dentistry students' reports. So from that corpus, together with some informal interviews with the students, usually in the SSCC at the end of the course, right? That's another source of information.
Staff student consultative committees,
right.
Which all our courses have at the end of the year. The students, we try to get at least one student from each class will come and give feedback to the coordinators on the course. So that's the SSCC. We'll call it the
SSCC. So from, from all different ways, we'll be able to understand, the student needs. But maybe I can highlight one noticeable change that I observed. When we developed the course, we, from the key findings of the needs analysis, one of the observations was the structure of a research report. So actually, the faculty did not provide any input. Just let the students, you write. And then I, as the supervisor, will take a look at your work and help you to correct it. All right. So right at the beginning, when we launched this course, we find mainly students got problems with the structure. They don't know. They just put everything together. Mm-hmm. They're not aware of the rhetorical moves of this genre.
Just out of... from a genre perspective, is it a very rigid structure, or is it more a bit more fluid?
Yes, you're right. It has a sort of a rigid format, all right? Mm-hmm. Yes, especially with the expectations from the faculty. So they will start with the introduction and also the objectives and aims of the project.
So it's IMRAD, is it? Follow an IMRAD model?
Quite similar to that one. Okay, yeah, but they do have recommendations, at the end. Okay, yeah.
I see.
Right, mm-hmm. At the end of the report. I would say that after receiving input from our course, they have better idea about the structure. So for the last couple of years, we didn't really see any particular problems here. Mm. And then initially, we also observed another significant need of the students would be hedges.
Mm-hmm.
So dentistry students, we observed that we also interviewed some of them, and then we have come to a conclusion that this is our product. Okay, this is our research. Mm. So why don't we have to be humble? Because these are our findings, all right? We have spent more than a semester to conduct research. So that's why they tend to be, too confident, right? Mm. For example, these findings clearly show blah, 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 blah. Mm. Right? But we know, from the perspective of the professional writers, we may have to be more aware of this, to be more cautious in presenting our findings, tentative language. Mm. So, this is very interesting. So because of this, and then we have an additional course component on the use of hedges and also choosing between hedges and strengthening devices in reporting your findings. And then we found that for the last few years, students were more aware of this. I respond to your questions about what I observed, changes in student needs, and hopefully those needs, changes in their needs were something maybe. Can I say that is a kind of learning gain, all right? Mm-hmm. Something that's actually what they learn from the course that will help them.
So is in a sense, is the genre itself changing?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. So the actual way these reports are presented or written is actually changing within the sort of discipline itself.
I think some changes, okay, within the student community when they have, because, okay, for the professional community, in general, okay, academic writers are aware of, okay, choosing between the boosters and also hedges, tentative language and strengthening devices in reporting the findings of your research, so, but maybe not for students.
So these reports, are they similar then to the kind of research papers that would be written by, professors of dentistry?
Yeah, they do.
Okay. Yeah, right.
They do.
Even though they're actually written for as a sort of learning training for the students.
And actually, even over the years, the faculty would select some good papers, to be published in some community health journals as well.
I'm curious, why is this a fifth-year course?
Sorry?
Why is this a fifth for fifth-year students?
Oh, why for fifth-year students? All right. As I said, we would like this course, to focus on both speaking and writing, And then dentistry students, they start to see patients in the second year. And over the six-year curriculum, most of the time for their studies, they wouldn't be required to write a lot, except the correspondence letters, like referral letters, referring a patient to another dentist, or case notes. So in that case, both CES and the faculty consider that would not be a very appropriate way, for students to enhance their writing skills, right? So we have to identify, a module that really requires them to write. So in that case, the only module in the curriculum would be the community health project that is situated in the fifth year of the dental curriculum. So that's why we have to offer the English course to five students.
I think that's a really interesting point, isn't it? That, you know, when you're designing these courses, you have to think about, as you say, what is the sort of most significant type of communication that they're doing that would most benefit from input from people like ourselves,
Adding on that, the faculty members also expressed that this is appropriate because the faculty do not have the expertise to provide them with the input on academic writing, and that's why this is where CES can really fill the gap. And at the same time, faculty members really have quite a heavy workload because when they receive the drafts from the students, they really have to spend time on revising, on marking, on helping them proofreading. So now, with this course, actually, the dean and also the faculty members also comment that actually you save our lives, because the drafts that that were produced by the students, are now, actually in a better quality. And then, I think, this really help us to know, this is why we need to have this course for year five students.
Do these students take any English courses between year one and year five at all?
No. Not but, just only the first year English course, and also some workshops on medical terminology.
Okay.
I just want to kind of finish up with that point there about the writing of this report. So is it marked then? Is it co-marked with a member from the Faculty of Dentistry, or is it just marked by the CES
for the writing
teachers?
Component, yeah, that's a good question. Writing component is only marked by CES, but initially when we developed the course, we actually co-worked and created the assessment criteria together. So for the content, we actually, there are three aspects, content, language, and structure. So for the content part, it's actually developed by the rubrics developed by the faculty members. So this means that this is important so that we know, the teachers' expectations. It's not CES teachers' expectations, right? It's the faculties, what they expect students to produce in terms of the content, audience awareness, what I want to say is that for the other component, I didn't really have time to talk about that, the speaking component.
Yes,
actually, it's a co-assessment. It's a co-assessment.
That's a presentation,
so that's
right?
The presentation. So in groups, they present the findings of the research in a press conference format.
Okay.
So we invite each class. We got one faculty member to come in and then, co-assess. They are responsible for the content part, and the CES teachers will be assessing the language language and the audience awareness, questioning, answering.
It's a press conference.
Yes.
So it's like an extended Q&A, essentially.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So this is very
very challenging.
Yeah, that's very challenging for students. We also got
Who asked the questions?
Yes, who asked the questions? Okay, co-assessors asked the questions, and then CES teachers will also like to ask questions as well. And we invite students, okay, to ask questions, to peers, okay. For example, while one group is presenting at the end, okay, for the Q&A section, the other three groups, they will ask questions as well.
So but there's a presentation part before the Q&A?
Yes. That's the presentation part. I remember, okay, we got some student comments. Okay, some students said that, okay, well, we actually got quite a lot of course changes for this speaking component. Some students comment that, okay, well, we're actually repeating because, okay, there are about 7 to 8 students in each group.
Okay.
Yes. Mm. So this means that, okay, 5 minutes per speaker is roughly half an hour for each group presentation. So it's really a lot. It's a nightmare, actually, for the audience. And then we tried to ask them, okay, maybe divide it into 2 subgroups, right? And they're giving out the presentation. It didn't really work very well. But in the end, we actually made some course changes. That is, okay, we put the students into 2 subgroups. Maybe 3 or 4 students, okay, would be the presenters, and the other 3 students would be the question leaders. So some students will be responsible for giving out the presentation, while some students will be responsible for handling the questions. And then students who will be presenting, of course, they would be given time to prepare for the content, and even for the question leaders, okay? And as you said, okay, it's very challenging. So we want them to let us know, okay, what are the areas that you would like our questions focus on. For example, they would tell us, okay, maybe focus on methodology and the implications, and then we, teachers, okay, assessors, okay, will prepare the questions in those aspects so that they can also prepare and anticipate the questions and sort of preparing the answers. And then, okay, it worked very well. Okay, if I would have time, I would like to show you some of the selected episodes of the videos. Mm. Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, they learn a lot, especially for Q&A, handling the questions.
Wow.
And I also think that, well, this is important because the co-assessor from the faculty, they can come and really see, oh, okay, these are the dentistry students. Okay, this is what you are learning from the course. Right. Yeah.
I think that's really brilliant that it seems as though you work really closely with the faculty from that school. I mean, they're even involved in co-assessing some of these. I mean, logistically, how do you coordinate all of this on a semester to semester basis?
Yes. Okay. It is not easy from the perspective of course coordinator. So that's why, okay, our course is offered in the second semester. So I actually have to start doing some work, coordination work. How many hours?
How much do you get paid for? What I was going to ask is how many from a, you know, I'm a coordinator. I'm always thinking, you know, numbers. So how many classes is this that you're having to?
3 class groups and now 4.
Okay, so there's 4 class groups, okay, of 20 students, is it? Or
yes, of, usually 18 to 19 students.
Okay, right.
So actually coordination work started towards the end of the semester, the first semester, semester 1.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. And then, okay, we have to work out the course schedule because there may be changes, okay, from time to time. So we have to send the course schedule to the faculty office and the co-worker and make sure that there's alignment. This is very important because we have assignment submission deadlines. So we have to make sure that the deadlines align with, okay, the faculty tutorials as well, because the supervisors will have to with the students. So we have to make sure that they have to receive feedback from our course. They have revised their work so that they can present it to their faculty supervisors for further feedback. And then, okay, we have to, right at the beginning, okay, work out the time. Usually it's week 11 for the press conference. Make sure that, okay, those who will be participating in the co-assessment are available. So it's not just only a liaising with the faculty co-worker, but also with the faculty office.
I'm going to sort of jump forward a little bit because, you know, when I was reading through your bio, I noticed that you've actually used quite a lot of what you did for the dentistry course in your research publications and sort of presentation papers.
And research grants.
So I was just wondering if you could maybe talk a little bit about that, because I think you know, quite a lot of teachers are interested in how, you know, maybe how we can take the work that I'm already doing in order to sort of, you know, research these courses. How can I sort of take them and then maybe use them in research that gets published, or how I can maybe get sort of funding to do this research?
Right. Yeah. Maybe let me talk about the research grants first. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, you're right. I got one research grant, okay, right at the time when I had to develop the new course, because I used the money to pilot the course, right? That's very useful. And the other grants that I received actually quite recently is a collaborative project with the School of Chinese. It's on reflective writing for dentistry students. I also had another grant also quite a long time ago, not that much money, okay, but it's not a teaching development grant, it's a Learn Coco Endowment Fund. Is actually helping me to develop the dentistry corpus. So I would say that, well, it's very important. If colleagues would be having time, would have the research interest, definitely go for applying for the research grant, because this is a valuable opportunity for them to try out new ideas. The first TDG that I received is helped me to pilot the course. If not without the pilot, I would not be able to understand, okay, the issues, okay, of this course, and also, okay, some of the potential, okay, implications of the course. So,
and that's because you got sort of buyout time, was it?
So yes, the release time.
Because I think the way the grants work.
Yeah, and also research. Probably you can use the money to hire a research assistant,
right?
Either full time or part time. Also help you with, let's say, okay, for when we use the money to pilot the course, we interview the students at that time. So you need a research assistant to help you with that, data collection and analysis.
If I could ask, how did your course change at all when it went online, when we were all teaching and learning online?
In light of the pandemic,
So what adjustments did you make?
One thing that I would like to share with you is flipped classroom. So you know about flipped classroom, and the rationale is to work in class, right? So this means that, okay, we created some short but very meaningful videos to provide students with the input. For example, let's say 1 week is about the structure of the research report. So we create two short videos, about 5 minutes each. One video is about the structure of the report, and the other is about, okay, the overview of research report writing. So students watch the videos before they come in for class, though it is online, okay? And then we come in online, okay? And then we put them into groups in the breakout room discussions. We actually present them beforehand, okay, some short excerpts of research report introduction and abstract, so that, okay, with the input from the video that they already watched, they had to have discussions in class. So this is the flip the classroom approach in brief that we adopted in order to overcome, okay, those challenges that we had encountered
and may still encounter as time goes on.
You meant publishing, right?
I was thinking, yes, so you know, you've got these research grants, but then, you know, what could you sort of maybe sort of tell our listeners, you know, okay, so you've done this research through this research grant, what, you know, how can you then sort of take that and turn that into a publication or a presentation?
You're right, thanks. Well, I would say that to get published, it means that you need to have a story to tell.
Interesting.
Right.
So it's a novel that you...
But it's a research story that you would like to tell. So I think it's important for everyone to first to find out whether you have a research story to tell, and then how important it is for you to tell the story, and then how interesting or fascinating it is. For example, from the findings of the corpus search, and then we have observed that, as I shared it with you before, it's about expression of stance. So students, dentistry students would be more, okay, not overdoing, but somehow they could be more aware of, okay, use of tentative language in reporting findings of the research, the one that I just shared with you. So we actually highlight this and make use of the findings in this aspect and then got a paper published in the English for Academic Purpose in 2017. If you will have time, you can go and read it. Expression of stance, right? Yeah, so I think it's important to really identify what story you would like to tell that research, and then how fascinating it can be. And then, okay, identifying a platform for you to share that story. For example, would it be a journal, or maybe most of our colleagues in CS maybe going for conference presentations, right? So I think that's very important, because it's not just only seen as knowledge exchange, but also let others know, okay, because time to time I may receive emails from other scholars, okay, oh, that's very interesting about dentistry students, right, in this very unique discipline.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Yeah, you sort of do this paper or something on that, and then suddenly people come to you.
It's a good way to communicate with a wider professional and academic community.
I think one of the really good things about these discipline-specific courses is that as coordinators and as teachers, we learn so much more about that specific area, that field of expertise. Yes. So if, as a takeaway, what have you learned from dentistry?
Apart from always brush your teeth.
Yeah.
Well, I think that what I have learned is their commitment.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, yes, right. Because from these students, they are year five students. They actually have a really heavy, heavy workload and study load, right? Busy schedule, especially in seeing patients, treating patients. So you could still see that they have committed their time in the second semester in conducting the research. And then they know each other really well, because it's a small faculty, they're in the year five. So I can see the interaction, collaboration among themselves, and they have tried the very best to complete the research. I feel that it's not just only for completing this course, for having a good grade for this English course, okay. But at the same time, okay, because I think this is something I have to give credit to the faculty as well, is that, okay, they got different prizes and awards for students, okay. For example, if they would select some really good papers for the award of the prize, right? Okay. And then some of them actually would be published because some faculty members, their supervisors, what I mean, they would select some good papers and then work together later on in their final year and then have the paper published in a journal.
Was there any presentation, very memorable presentation or paper that you saw?
I think that what I just said will be something to do with that particular group of people in Hong Kong, prisoners.
Oh.
Yeah. Because when I was a school student, because I'm a Christian, so one or two times at Christmas, I went together with some church members, and then we got a Christmas carol singing in the prison. Yeah. Some sort of preaching.
Okay.
So at that time, I was quite scared, but I thought that it's very meaningful. So maybe somehow I thought that, well, yeah, I know they did something not really good. Okay. Yeah. But I still feel that this is a totally different life in the prison. So whenever I come across several, topics that are related to prisoners, for example, you can go to the Faculty of Dentistry, you see all that collection. So I think that there's something very interesting, especially knowing that dentistry students, before the pandemic, they would really go and visit the prisoners and then had some dental visits and then observe, their needs and also, some interviews to find out the perceptions. All right. So I think that's very interesting.
I think those are fantastic final notes there.
Yeah. I'm just impressed that prisoners are getting great dental care.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much, Lisa. That was fantastic. I think we've learned a lot about, how to go about doing one of these needs analysis and all the great things that you can learn from doing them, and then how you can maybe take that and use it for your own research, and obviously all the fantastic things you learn about from the discipline itself.
Thank you. And working very closely
with faculty.
And working with the school. Exactly. Yeah, getting a chance to work with the faculty.
That was really interesting. Thank you very much, Lisa.
Thank you for the opportunity, Colin.